KCR Hanalei,
KAQA Kilauea.
Aloha mai kakou. My name is Brother Eric, filling in for the beautiful Nani Loa, Miss Laura, Miss Felicia Cowden. And this is Hawaii Soapbox Live, or Kauai Soapbox Live. And Kauai Soapbox Live is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Canvas, Al Pastor Tacos, George's Food Truck, and Kilauea Paint and Feed.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality G-Clay canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas, stretch your imagination.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Chef George in the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George in the Jungle supports KKCR.
Kilauea Paint and Feed Store. Specializing in professional-grade Pittsburgh paints and paint sundries, and premium pet food and organic livestock feed. Hawaii Gas Propane Exchange and Propane Filling, too. Located just past the Shell Station on Kolo Road in Kilauea. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday from 8 to 1. Locally owned, Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, 828-6655.
And mahalo nui loa for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Hey, hey, everyone. This is Kauai Soapbox Live, the show for you guys, where if you guys got things to say, we're here for you, because this is Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you so, so much that will jump in a bathtub full of lilikoi seeds just for you. And that note, here's another thing for you guys to listen to.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
And welcome, welcome, welcome. Aloha mai kakou. How are you guys? I am Brother Eric, filling in for the beautiful Miss Felicia Cowden here on Kauai Soapbox. And my good guest here, always on call, Mr. Marshall. How you? How you? Marshall, try that again.
All right. Aloha.
All right. Thank you, Marshall, for checking in with us. Hey, so this is Kauai Soapbox Live, where we are here for you guys here in the community. If you guys have anything to say today, please give us a call at 826-7771. That's 826-7771. So what do we got going on here today? We got a couple of things going on in the community. One of the most important things that's going on, which actually happened earlier today, was the Kilauea Lighthouse Wildlife National Wildlife Refuge environmental. What was that, Marshall, we had today?
Well, we had a public open house meeting about the Kilauea Point National Wildlife Refuge's draft comprehensive conservation plan. And so there was a meeting at 1 to 3 today at the Kilauea Neighborhood Center. There'll be another one tomorrow at 6 to 8, also at the Kilauea Kilauea Elementary School cafeteria.
Ah, so there's going to be another one tomorrow night from 6 to 8 at the Kilauea Elementary School, correct?
That's right, in the cafeteria.
Ah, okay. And so the Kilauea National Wildlife Refuge out there, the Kilauea White House, where they do lots of good stuff with conserving our native aquatic, our native seabird species. They're going to be doing a kind of an overhaul of their conservation plan. And so that's going to mean a whole bunch of different things for us here in the North Shore area. And it's going to affect how we live and how we do things, either for the better or for the worse. So any of you guys that have been to the meeting today between 1 and 3, we'd love to hear from you at 826-7771. That's 826-7771. Or any of you that are thinking about going to the meeting or just have any mana'o of what you'd like to share about that or anything else here on KKCR, please give us a call at 826-7771. Or if you're off-island, give us a call at toll-free at 1-866-275-1112. That's 1-866-275-1112. So, while we're waiting for anyone to call us today, once again, my name is Brother Eric from the Soul Shakedown Party, filling in for the beautiful Miss Felicia Cowden, who is off island this week taking care of some business to make sure that in the future we have some great things going here on the island for us. So, you know, I usually don't do this show, but I'm here for you guys, and this program is for you guys, and I don't like talk plenty, and I hope that other people will talk plenty, and Marshall and me could just talk all day, but this isn't for us, this is for you guys. And so whatever's on your mind, please give us a call at 826-7771. That's 826-7771. So one of the things that's really important about these environmental meetings with such entities as the federal government, in this case the Kilauea Lighthouse, is that we really do get the public involved in things. Because if we as a community do not stand forth and voice our opinions, then whatever happens happens, and we don't get any consent into it. So if we want to see a change that we'd like to be in things, please be active and involved. And give us a call at 826-7771. That's 826-7771. So any concerns, let us know. And we have one caller on the air. Caller, welcome to KKCR.
Right on. Thank you. And Brother Eric, this is Jimmy Trujillo.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
Good. I'm just going to change gears from the Kilauea development and traffic plans and all that good stuff. Just to update some listeners that might be interested, we had a meeting on Thursday, Beekeepers Association. I spoke at length on Thursday's Out of the Box show with Tim Kalai about the reason why we were getting together. So I just wanted to let some folks know if
And what was that reason, Jimmy?
The county has made available money for pesticide testing. So the state apiarist, her name is Danielle Downey. She is our Hawaii Department of Agriculture's chief beekeeper, and she is kind of been recruited to help the county, and the Beekeepers Association is being in the college's apiary program, being an assistance to try to recruit and share information for folks who wanted to participate in this survey. So we had probably about, maybe 25, for sure 25, could be closer to 30 folks who showed up last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle did a great job of what I thought was a good informational presentation about the work that she's done previously. So she goes out and does testing of, throughout the state, different hives. She has a grant through USDA, through the Department of Agriculture's program, where they get information about how our honey producers are doing and any other bee-related, apiary-related businesses. So we got a lot of queen-rearing activities in the state, primarily in the Big Island, and that's where Danielle's housed. So
yeah.
She gets to hear, every now and then. But long story short, we were going to hear what the, if you will, county plans are and how beekeepers can participate. And a number of issues, I guess, that we kind of had, an idea, but we weren't quite sure what the nature of it was two things, I guess, beekeepers being a little reluctant to participate for You know, it's like, do you want to go find out and have bad news or just continue to, monitor your bees?
Jimmy, call me to interject here, but what kind of bad news would beekeepers be hearing from such information that's being disseminated?
Well, there you go. It's my hives are affected, or the hive products are being affected by pesticides or have residuals of pesticides in their honey or in their wax or...
So any
of that would be, I think, kind of like bad news for a beekeeper.
So,
on the good and bad scale, that would be bad.
So for the guys that isn't beekeepers right now, could you maybe explain to the public how pesticides could be maybe detrimental or deleterious to guys' beekeeping operations?
Well, sure, and I'll be brief because it can get kind of complicated. But worldwide, bees are having some significant issues, mainly related to decline. Their numbers are dwindling. We're better understanding what could be causing that, and pesticides is part of that equation. So the amount of pesticides that are being used, whether it's in agricultural purposes, whether it's the folks who maintain the parks or the roadways, golf courses. We had a conversation about where would we like to get some of these hive samples from, and I think we all agree to having a broad area across the island that we get these samples, and that it's not just going to be focused on the perception. I just got off the phone with a scientist who's going to be raising fledglings, not sure of the type of bird, but we'll have them on the air because it's going to be very interesting. But this gentleman is going to be here on Kauai raising these rare native species that they find in Kokea and wanted to feed them bee larvae.
Ah.
And then at the end of our conversation was like, well, I've heard in regards to potential contamination. And I was like, wow, it's funny you bring that up, because we had a very long conversation and meeting about it last week. So his issue or his concern was the likelihood or the chance that glyphosate, Roundup.
Glyphosate is the generic chemical for Roundup, correct?
Right. That's what I could be pronouncing it wrong, but that was one of that. That's what came up for him. And this gentleman's in San Diego, but he put out a kahea, and a number of people responded. In fact, I got about 6 emails from last night to this morning from different people and places concerned about this guy's project. That if they couldn't find bee larvae, they're going to, what would they do? How are they going to be able to kind of, what would be the substitute? And so, he has experience on the Big Island and on Maui. He says, well, we've always contacted beekeepers. How can we get in touch with them? So that's how I got, contacted by different folks. And back to the concern that beekeepers had was, who's going to get this information? So during the meeting, I think back to Danielle's, role as a facilitator and a professional, she did a great job of keeping the focus on bees and making sure that we were moving in the direction that the group felt comfortable moving in, and that we were, the information that she shared would be between the beekeeper who submits the sample and her office or her department, and that she would generate a somewhat I want to say broad and general report
to
the Department of Ag and the county, and that the beekeeper would get the results that she would get from the laboratory as well.
Jimmy, we have a question from Mixmaster Marshall over here on the phone line.
Yeah.
Maybe he can ask something for you.
Sure.
Hey, Jimmy, I helped to keep some bees. How can I get our honey tested for pesticides?
Well, that's really why I wanted to call.
Right.
Or one of the reasons, because we have a better idea. The way to do that is to get in touch with Danielle Downey, and I'm going to pull up her information right now, because her office is going to be handling this, investigation, survey, study, and let me see if I can get it up here. She is based out of Hilo.
And Danielle, she works for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or who does she work for?
She works for the Department of Agriculture at the state level. So she's
Hawaii State Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's her, and unfortunately that didn't come through, so we'll go This way. Folks can get in touch if you're on Facebook. You can go to Hawaii Bee, and there's a Facebook page there. There we go. Contact me. Come on. The computer's always slowest when you're trying to get information fast.
So,
Marshall, here's the best way. You know, go to Hawaii Bee. That's one word, HawaiiBee.com. And on their first page up is contact information down at the bottom. Her email address is D Downey, and so that's DDOWNEY at hawaii.edu. And her phone number is area code 808-352-3010.
So once again, that's 352-1010?
Thanks for asking. It's 3010. So 352-3010.
3010. Mm-hmm. Great, great, great. And that's ddowney at hawaii.edu.
Correct.
Right, right, right.
And so, that's if folks are interested in that meeting, and the issue of glyphosate came up in regards to previous studies that have been done here. Those studies haven't been made public, I guess. The principal investigator wants to do, I guess, another analysis to either verify the results of the first one before going public. The backstory to that is there's just a lot of concerns in our community about pesticides, not just with beekeepers, but with a lot of people. And again, with the meeting, Danielle did a great job of keeping the focus on beekeeping. I want to share that Carl Berg is involved in a study with a high school student from Kapaa High School, and they are working. Carl Berg's a marine. I'm not sure if he's a marine biologist, but he has a scientist and has done a number of testing through Surfrider, though I don't know if this is a Surfrider project. Anyways, this student wants to look specifically at honey samples, and they will be looking for glyphosate in specifically.
On.
And that's one of the things that folks are starting to identify. That stuff is getting around.
Right on.
If we don't want it in our hives, then it shouldn't be in there.
Right on. So just real quick, we have another caller online. Before we let you go, Jimmy, could you just tell the public why bees are important?
Well, I mean, I think the majority of us are aware of the good work they do as pollinators and for food production and for, you know, the birds and the bees, there's a reason why they're there. And like you were talking about the Kilauea marine bird project that's going on, and we know how precious our resources are. Even though bees might be considered an invasive species, we've got naturalized hives here. We've got a healthy population fortunately on the Garden Island.
Right on.
And we want to try to continue to maintain that. And so this is good for us to just keep Be aware, be informed, and be engaged. Brother Eric, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Jimmy. Aloha, mahalo.
Aloha.
Okay, we have another caller on the air. Aloha, you are on the air to Kauai Soapbox.
My name is Margie.
Hey, Margie.
Hi. I'm calling to rep health, not my place of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got my answer mostly, which is I wanted to know what the honey was being tested for, and I understand glyphosate.
Yeah.
Lovely. I'm so delighted to hear that this testing is going on. What I find puzzling is I push so hard as a primary care provider to get people tested, and there's a complete wall of resistance with that. The other thing I want to say is there are 80 pesticides now being used on the west side of these,
mm-hmm.
and one of them that was just passed in October is a Enlist Duo, and it's a combination of glyphosate and Agent Orange.
Agent Orange has been outlawed in the United States. Are you sure it's pure Agent Orange?
Look at it. Enlist Duo.
I'm sorry, could you kind of speak a little bit clearer? Are you on a cell phone right now?
Yeah, I am. I'm
Are you on speakerphone?
Yes.
Can you pull over so you can be safer and we can hear you better?
I'm driving from Waimea now, and I don't see a spot to pull over yet, but I will as soon as I can.
As soon as you can, but continue talking, please.
Enlist Duo, mm-hmm. that is the name now because it has glyphosate.
It's called what duo?
Enlist Duo.
List Duo, okay.
ENLIST.
Okay.
And it is a combination of glyphosate and Agent Orange.
Pure Agent Orange or maybe like a 2-4-D?
Study these very often because I have patients who are coming in who I feel are sick from these things.
Right, right. I just from my understanding of agriculture and what I've done in agriculture is that I was under the impression that Agent Orange was outlawed and that they were only using somewhat of a diluted concentrate with 2,4-D, but you're telling me that they're actually using pure Agent Orange in a mixture with a glyphosate?
It's in the Agent Orange family.
Okay, so, it's in the family. Okay, okay. Just to clarify, because some people are really particular about these kinds of things.
Yeah.
But continue on, please.
I'm sorry, what?
Continue on, please. We'd love to hear your Manao.
So anyway, looking at, and I study pesticides all the time because I am kind of on my own, with the patients. It is a family, and the Agent Orange, it's part of the Agent Orange family, and it's glyphosate mixed together. And I'm just blown away by that any part of the Agent Orange family could be used close to, 100 feet from school.
So they're using this in proximity to the school zone, or are they using this in areas that are more buffered away?
No, they're using it everywhere. It's not just in certain areas. It's behind. Why can't Waimea Canyon Middle School?
Okay.
And also close
Do you actually have like a proximity of how close they're doing it? Because I thought that
the seed
companies were under a restriction of how close they can get to public areas. Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to be following the label.
Right. There's nothing here on the county or state level that says something like that with having a Friendly Neighbor Act or anything.
I would say no if there is not being followed.
Okay.
There is a restraining order from Waimea Canyon Middle School because dozens of children have fallen ill with teachers and have gone to the emergency room several times.
Right.
So they got a restraining order. But the label supposedly is the law, and five different studies at Waimea Canyon Middle School, there were five different restricted use pesticides found in and outside of the school. And there's no follow-up to this at all planned. Oh, we found it, and now we're not going to do anything about it because we have a lack of funds. Blah,
so
blah.
Who found this? Was this you on your own investigation?
University of Hawaii.
Okay.
And I believe it was overseas, or there was a part of it done by the Department of Health.
Okay, was this in cooperation with a certain department within UH, or just out of curiosity so we could follow up with this?
I have to look back, but it's called the Stinkweed Study.
Stinkweed Study, okay.
It's about maybe 34 pages. And
so people can Google the Stinkweed Study?
Yes.
Okay.
And the first 29 pages talks only about stinkweed. And I was almost ready to go, forget this, not informative, until I got to the last few pages that brought up the chemicals that were found over and over again. Restricted use, that means only can be used by industry.
Right.
Five separate times. Yes.
Now, is that uncommon for the industry to do that, or is that it's against the law for them to use that? Then why are they using it?
You tell me, money.
I don't know. I mean, theoretically, if there's a restricted use of this and it's against the law, then someone's overseeing this, or you're saying there's no...
No, there's nobody overseeing it, and there's no... I mean, these studies started in 2011.
Okay.
And there's nobody that's come up and tried to regulate them or fine them or anything. But what the label says on these restricted use pesticides mostly is if you find it off the campus of where it's being used, then they're breaking the law.
They're breaking the law. So even if something, let's say, because of the wind on a strong day, maybe pushes that farther than what's already in a in their buffer zone area, that's against the law, correct? Is that what I'm being
correct.
Told? Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And on the labels, for most of them, it says, do not spray if the wind is 10 miles per hour or more.
Right.
As low as 4 miles per hour.
So, from what I remember, because I used to live on Maui for a while, and I used to live near the cane fields, is that these companies, or at least on Maui, is that they have people monitoring... the wind speed, the wind direction, et cetera, to make sure that if they're within the threshold of spraying these restricted pesticides, then it's okay or it's not okay. Do you know if on the west side they have people actually monitoring such environmental variables to make sure that such things aren't occurring?
Yes, they are. It's very minimal. I understand that they're very short of pesticide officers or whatever you would call it, regulators. They're very short of them.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have enough money, et cetera. And the fact that this keeps recurring, showing up in the Waimea County Middle School, tells me that they're not doing a great job at this.
Right.
And another one chemical they've found that to me is the biggest concern for children is chlorpyrifos. And
chlorpyrifos?
Chlorpyrifos.
Okay.
Chlorpyrifos.
Okay.
Chlorpyrifos.
And that is a pesticide, an herbicide, insecticide?
It's in the organophosphate family. I can't remember which. I think it's an herbicide. I'm not sure.
It's an agricultural chemical, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Restricted use chemical.
Right.
So only allowed by industry.
And so restricted use for people, just once again to know, is that the common guy that's got a lawn, he can't spray that, right? This is for people that are certified pesticide handlers,
exactly.
Correct? That gone through some kind of process.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember where I was going with that.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure everyone's following in what you're saying here. So take your time. Go finish what you need to.
Chlorpyrifos.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably the most concerning to me, although they all are damaging. But chlorpyrifos lowers a child's IQ by an average of 7 points.
Over a lifetime or over each time they spray? Or what kind of timeline are we looking at?
I don't know the answer to that. That is an effect.
Yeah, yeah.
The other effects are neurological effects.
Okay.
ADD, ADHD, seizures, and also hormonal effects.
Now, these are anecdotal things, or are these things that have been published in studies?
These are on the label.
So, like, when guys go buy the chemical, they go read the inside pamphlet, and it says, oh, right there. Oh, watch out. This can go jam up guys, yeah? Okay.
Now, it might not be specific as lowering the IQ by 7 points, but it will say neurological.
Right.
It
will inform people of the deleterious effects. Yeah.
Right. So the label is the law. That's what's considered as a law.
Right.
And the fact that it's drifted off of the campus has broken the law, and nobody is responding to that.
Do you think it could be also that the law maybe needs to be rewritten, and that maybe guys are following the law, and that something with maybe the accidental drift has to do with more that maybe we need to redefine our barriers and hey, there's no wind at all. That's the only time you need to spray kind of thing.
110 miles per hour, I said.
Right. So maybe we're looking at no wind at all or just no spraying at all?
Well, I don't know. I don't know either.
I'm just asking,
10 miles per hour or more is not supposed to be sprayed. And I've never heard of them stopping their spraying pattern for a wind.
Right. Because I know on Maui with the cane fields, they would do that too, is they would be like, oh, because there were complaints, in Pa'ia, on the edge of the cane fields there. Oh, we were getting sprayed a lot at. And then, the cane company would come back and put an article in the paper and be like, hey, we documented this, and that, and saying that this is under 10 miles per hour and this is, hey, this is just the way it goes. So maybe we need to be looking at larger buffer zones, or what do you think we need to? How do we approach this?
It's not safe at all. I think they really need to be off the island. Honestly.
Right.
But, and there is changes in the law.
Right.
And they're regularly changed, and the way they're changed is the level of safety keeps going up.
Right.
As the exposure gets to be more, we've changed our level of what's safe, and so now it's still in the safe zone.
Right. We do have another.
Okay.
Oh no.
Okay. Yeah. Take the call. I'm not compatible to that at all. So I'm just listen off the air. Thank you.
No, you're still good to talk. I'm sorry. The other person broke up. So just to reiterate some of the things you said. So there is a stinkweed study, which is talking about stinkweed, but towards the end of the study, which people can Google, they can find out about these mixtures of pesticides, in which you're talking about where they're using a mixture of glyphosate, which is the chemical used primarily in Roundup, with a combination of a derivative of
Agent Orange.
Not okay, Agent Orange itself, but it's
a... It was done a while ago, and this new chemical, this new pesticide only came up in October.
So this is not a mixture of two things. This is a brand new pesticide they made up. Yeah, they're not mixing two things in one tank, yeah?
I just know that it's a combination of glyphosate and something from the family of Agent Orange. But exactly how the mixture... But the problem with the mixtures and the layering is when you mix two chemicals, you have a whole new compound. You say, I mean, for instance, you take bleach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fairly safe if you're not, you know, I mean, not really. I don't like using bleach either. But and you take ammonia, and you, if you follow the label, you likely won't get sick. You mix the two, and they can cause death.
Right. So,
and so we know nothing about the compounds that are coming out of this layering.
So from what you're telling me, then the chemical company doesn't have something pre-mixed, already tested. They're testing here and trying two different things to mix together and seeing what's happening. Is that what's going on?
It's a named pesticide, List Duo, and it is already passed.
Okay, so it's been theoretically approved and safe, supposedly. Right.
Yes.
Supposedly.
On the other hand, I'll tell you that most of the tests are done by these companies.
Right.
And then they present their studies to the EPA. EPA does
as it always
testing.
Goes. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So we're leaving
the
it
EPA
up.
Does no testing at all?
No.
Are you telling me that our government
doesn't
have our backs?
No. They review testing.
They review
but
the
they
testing.
Don't do it.
Ah.
And the testing is mostly done by the companies themselves.
Right, because maybe the company has more time and investment in that, and the government only has so many limited resources.
Well, I would not say it's time. I'd say it's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that chemical to not pass because they've got a lot of money coming to them with the use of these chemicals. And I think it's more manipulation than anything, honestly. And it's working in their favor. They're making a ton of money.
Right. I mean, you know, whatever kind of company you are, you always want to make yourself look good. And I'm not trying to advocate for the seed companies.
Right.
You work in the medical field?
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm a care provider in Waimea. You know, like I said, not representing my place of work.
Right. You don't have to represent your place of work.
Yeah.
But you see the direct hands-on... or not the hands-on, but the direct effects of what you're coinciding with, what's going on with the agricultural operations over there on the west side?
Okay, yeah, I would say yes, but at the same time, what people will say, well, that's anecdotal, there's no proof.
Right.
But, for instance, I see people who have the company spraying maybe one football field away from their house, and they have chronic... health problems, and I don't want to go into detail because that might be...
I know we don't want to really go into detail, but for guys who maybe don't live on the west side and are don't have the opportunity, that it's a fortunate opportunity of what you're seeing, but could you maybe small kind elaborate about what kind of health effects you're seeing happen?
Yes. You know, cancer is hard to track, so I'm seeing cancer, but I don't know if that came from genetics, I don't know if that came from something they... we're supposed to in childhood. So mostly what I see, and I can pretty much rule everything out except for pesticides, that's when I come to the decision, okay, this is probably pesticides because I ruled they don't smoke. You know, I've ruled everything else out. Asthma, rashes, fatigue, nausea, vomiting, dizziness. I would say that those are probably the main ones. Oh, and a frequent one that I hear about children, and I just had one today, in fact, is that they wake up with very, very bloody pillows where sometimes they have to be taken to the emergency room because their nose won't stop bleeding.
So just to reiterate, some of the things that you're seeing are cancer, correct?
Uh-huh.
Fatigue.
Yeah.
Chronic vomiting. Bleeding that's unquestionable kind of stuff. Okay, so these are things that you're seeing that are quite abnormal to what you'd normally be seeing.
Yes. And the reason I say it's abnormal, you know, it could be the stomach flu, it could be this or that, but I treat them, I've been in healthcare for 30 years, mm-hmm. I treat them as I normally would.
Right.
Back in a week with the same symptoms.
Really? Within a week, the guys come back a lot?
Yeah. Might be a month, but... And that's usually, if it's a month, it's because I treated them with steroids, something very heavy to decrease their immune
response. So this is, what you're seeing is irregular patterns of unhealthy things that are happening on a way too infrequent basis, correct?
Way too frequent, yes.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Of course, people will say, well, you can't prove that, so I know that. And so I
yeah,
have,
you know, we cannot prove that yet, but we're getting there, we're getting there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I hope that at some point there's pesticide testing for people. You know what I mean? I am so happy that the bees are being tested because after the bees die, I understand it's only a matter of years before we're not living anymore, too.
Right.
And it's also going to lead us to see, you know, what is the exposure to them, and maybe that tells us something about our own bodies. But that's one chemical. There's 80 being used on the West Side.
Yeah.
Yeah, and almost every single day.
Okay.
Or night. They like to do it at night because then people aren't seeing them, too.
Right, right.
I think, you know, and that's what community members have said to me, too.
Right. So,
but,
you know,
again, I have no proof of all
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we, you know, it takes time to prove things, and, you know, it takes a community effort, but people like you make a difference in just making things be aware like that. We do have another caller on the line.
Okay.
If you have anything else to say, just say it quick, or if not, we really appreciate Manao. And once again, if you have anything else to call back with, please give us a call at 826-7771. That's 826-7771. Thank you for your call.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Aloha. Once again, this is Kauai Soapbox Live, the show that's made for the community, where we take your issues and we put them onto the forum here. This is your pressure relief valve, so if you got something to say, let us know. And we have a caller on the air. Welcome, caller. Aloha.
Aloha, you guys. Thank you for hosting the show. And mahalo to the Waiina calling from the West Side and sharing her manawa. And, you know, what she's seeing out there and what we've been seeing island-wide. I think it kind of goes up to, like, the Wailua area when the winds switch and blow kona's. And, you know, I think they even found some of the chemicals up in the North Shore watershed years ago. But I know that there's a lot of legislative, we're in a legislative session on the state level. And over the past couple of years of thousands of us Kauai residents and across the state marching against these pesticides and these chemical companies, you know, and on the county level, they're saying, you know, it's a state responsibility. It's in the state hands now, and the state knows they're doing nothing. So it's time for all of us warriors to step up and shut these guys down because the government just wants to keep taking the chemical companies' money, and we need the people that care about the aina to step up and stop these guys from going out there and spraying on a daily basis. It is sad to see. It is sad for our community to be up against these restricted use pesticides on the Garden Island. Are you kidding me, right?
Oh,
you
know? Yeah, jam up already. So what? What do we need to do as a community? How do we kako? How do we all do this together? What is the change that we need to see? We all know that what I'm hearing here is that, you know, we don't like these guys here. So how do we get from point A to point B? That's my question for you.
We got to, if we can, show up for the meetings, whatever meetings is going on, and all the different groups, they're trying to get together, you know. Sometimes guys can meet on Monday, sometimes guys can meet on Thursdays, but if we can sit down and we can talk in multiple people and try to come up with ideas to, you know, show these people that if the government is on whatever level is not going to do it, you know, the Aloha Aina Warriors, you know, the whole movement that Barca and everybody has been pushing, needs to keep moving. You know, we are, it's happening now. So, you know, whenever any of our community people, or any, all the listeners out there, if you got time and you hear about community meeting, come in, sit down, talk, listen, all get on the same page and start moving in the right direction, or continue to move in the right direction.
Absolutely. You know, that's this, it's a community endeavor. We're all in this together here. And besides meetings, What do you want to see on the West Side?
I
wonder what you like seeing.
Yeah.
You know, because
on a positive note, we need to propose to the government that we want to reestablish the ahupua'as and run food from Mauka to Makai be feeding all of our people, and it not cost us money to do this, and we can go and be a part of this. You know, providing food for our families.
Beautiful.
And we don't need these chemical companies. Matter of fact, they stay in our way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is good agriculture land, and it's going to take a while to reestablish the quality that the west side had, and hopefully we'll have again someday. But, you know, across the island, there's a lot of guys. They got the Kilauea Food Forest. That's a private
they
thing,
got
you know.
McCoy.
The more, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the more, yeah. The more though you can, even just gardening in your backyard is a positive motion. And
so,
you know,
so
I hope everybody,
it's a revolutionary thing where it starts with taking care of your own footsteps within your own yard, yeah. And if we start from there, then we can have a momentum, is what I'm hearing, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people say kuleana is responsibility, but the only reason why it's our responsibility is because God gifted us with this special place. You know,
that's right,
God
did, yeah.
Hand in our hand, and it is our kuleana to make sure that it is as quality and better quality for our next generation to be able to farm our own food.
Right on, brother.
Thank you guys for being there. I hope plenty more people get for talking.
Yeah. Okay, mahalo for your call. Thank you for Manalo.
Thank you.
Blessings. Aloha. So I just want to encourage guys to get callers, whether you get opposing views or you get the same kind of views, please give us a call because we're here to hear all kinds of sides, and we have another caller. So caller, welcome to Kauai Soapbox. Aloha.
Hi, yeah. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, yeah. You know, I'm glad I haven't tuned into this program for a long time, but, you know, I'm glad to hear that people are still concerned, you know, about the you know, seed companies and the mm-hmm. spraying and stuff. But, you know, I just like make a couple points about that, you know, what's come up from what I heard. I didn't mm-hmm. come in the beginning, but, you know, we heard the same points over and over again ad nauseum, you know, that have been made by the previous two callers. And that's great that people still feel that way. Kind of all the politicians in this arena took a shellacking in the election.
Right.
I think that says one thing. You know, regarding this stuff, it's easy to point the finger at the seed corn companies without pointing it at ourselves.
Right.
How much fertilizer that ends up in the reefs and Ciguatera and all that, how much pesticides ends up on the reefs from the golf courses that we use.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people talk about this dairy and all the problems it's going to cause, about the impact on the Hyatt. I'm sorry, but what impact did the Hyatt and their golf courses have on that area?
Right.
You know?
You go down there already, down Mahalepu like that, the reef is pretty jam up already. You know, there's pretty much no more nothing there.
How many guys get the shakes from eating too much reef fish? You know, from the Ciguatera.
Coming
by that fertilizer.
Right. Coming from Big Island, man. Yeah, I tell you, all the Kona side golf courses like that with the hotels, man. It's so hard to go throw a net or anything like that because so much guys Ciguatera already. Yeah.
And if you like, check out the companies and go start your farm in Waimea. That's awesome. I would like to see that. I'm all for that. You know, take your business plan for your organic farm or whatever it is, biodynamic, permaculture, whatever. Go take that to Gan Robinson with a real business plan.
Right. You got to have one solid business plan. I think that's one of the things that plenty of guys, you know, in Hawaii, they like talk, oh, we like grow food a lot at, but, you know, you got to think about it is that you're working with big landowners that are trying to make sure that they keep their land profitable. And so, I feel that, and I'm sure plenty other people feel that doing something besides large-scale monoculture agriculture can be profitable, but we need to prove that to people, you know, and I think you bring a great point in terms of, you know, having that good business plan, having that good crop plan to make something successful, because plenty of guys is like Bala Au, and they don't actually have an action plan, you know, and I think
they're wonderful ideas. I'm all for them, but
yeah.
I mean, more than just wanting to do good, make a profit off their land, they have a legal responsibility, a fduciary responsibility
to
make a profit off their land. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just what it is.
It is what it is. We're in the system, and sometimes to change the system, we need to work within the system to change it, to do something completely radical. We cannot just be like, oh, we like take it down, right?
Maybe
we got to work within that, yeah. So
I'm not going to take too much time. It's the last point I like to make. Mm-hmm. You know, I got two little kids. You know, the pesticide thing is a concern for me. But look, Department of Health 2013 did a community health assessment for Kauai, for all the counties. Okay, what did they find as the top primary concerns for Kauai? It was lack of staffing in the hospitals, it was underage pregnancies, because there's more complications when you're not fully mature, and it was suicide. Okay, these were the top health concerns for Kauai.
Wow.
Not nosebleeds, not birth defects. We had an OBGYN from Waimea writing the paper saying there's no heart defect rate abnormalities. If you want to make a difference, get prenatal care, especially if it's with teenagers. That's what our Westside OBGYN said.
Wow.
How come we don't talk about that?
Good point. These are great points, you know, and I think these are things that people need to be more aware of in the light, and I really want to mahalo you for bringing those points up, right on.
One last thing, another pet peeve, just the very last thing, I promise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, again, glad that after several months that we're still talking about the same stuff about Secorn, but look, a lady gets run over not once but twice, gets hit by two cars in downtown Lihue at 6 in the morning when nobody on the road. This is a problem, okay? And, you know, Secorn is okay, there's a lot of issues, but you know what? I got a lot more, like, pressing stuff that is on my mind, like crossing the street with my kid and hoping I don't die. That is much more of a real problem to me. I might be in the minority on that, but just saying.
No, I'm with you at all, man. I almost got run over the other day over down there in Puhi like that. So, yeah.
It would be nice to tune in and hear some of that conversation from once in a while.
You know, and that's what we're looking here on KKCR. We're looking for any kind of contributions. We're hoping to not keep our conversations hackneyed and trite. So if you have any mana'o, please give us a call at 826-7771. And thank you, caller, for calling in.
Mahalo.
We really appreciate it. Aloha. And we have another call on the air. Welcome to Kauai Soapbox Live. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. An earlier call talking about measurement. What can we do?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking the audience to help me in something I call Operation Saturation. Now, what I'm talking about is perfectly science-based. As a matter of fact, tomorrow there is going to be a scientific paper published in a scientific journal, and right now it's already at PubMed.gov, which is where scientists...
Well, can you say that again? PubMed.com?
PubMed,
like,
yeah,
publication, PubMed?
Yeah, if you went to www.PubMed.gov, and you put a search in for NRF2, that's capital N-R, that's lowercase r, lowercase f, the numeral 2, NRF2,
mm-hmm.
a master regulator of detoxification and also antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and other cytoprotective mechanisms, is raised by health-promoting factors. That's mm-hmm. the title of what is the paper that is... has just gone into archive and is being published tomorrow. Now, what does this mean? What's the bottom line for us? Since 2003, there's been a product on the market called Protandim. It is simply...
What is that product again? Protandim?
Protandim.
Okay.
P-R-O-T-A-N-D-I-M. Protandim is unique in that these five herbs, in the combination they are, triggers, knocks on the cell wall of every cell, and the door is answered at the cell, which then goes back to the nucleus, and it triggers a NRF2. NRF2 is what was operating for all of us since the day we were born until we were 20. It is a way that the body releases its own antioxidant enzymes to gobble up a million free radicals per second. As we get older, from say 20 on, we begin to lose that battle. What Protandim does is it reminds the body what it was doing when you were born, and so that it continues to do it the way you were born. What is that? What's the significance of that is that as we age, we build up something called oxidative stress, which is the rust of the body. And disease develops as a result of the oxidative stress in response to the rust, in response to that oxidative stress. Protandim reduces oxidative stress an average of 40% within 30 days for everyone. That is a clinical proven fact.
So is this kind of like a fountain of youth kind of thing that's clinically proven?
It's close to it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you what the abstract is, what the abstract is of the paper that I just cited. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to read you parts of it because it gets really technical at the beginning. This is specifically directed for medical doctors and health practitioners, but check out this quote. Remember, I said NRF2 reduces oxidative stress. So the quote is, raising NRF2 has been found to prevent and or treat a large number of chronic inflammatory diseases in animal models and or humans, including various cardiovascular diseases, kidney diseases, lung diseases, diseases of toxic liver damage, cancer prevention, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, obesity, sepsis, autoimmune diseases, inflammatory bowel disease, HIV/AIDS, and epilepsy. Let me skip down to the bottom line. The last sentence they say, NRF2 is not a magic bullet, but it is likely to be of great importance in health promotion, particularly in those regularly exposed to toxic chemicals.
Right. So we do have another caller on the air, and just to reiterate, there will be a paper released tomorrow about NRF2, NRF2, which people can learn more about how to...
Let me just give a link to an eight-minute investigative part
by
ABC.
Okay, send the link off, and then we're going to have to go to another caller here. Go ahead.
Yes, go to www.abc.com. LiveIt.com ABCLiveIt.com
ABCLiveIt.com, yeah?
Yep, go see that, and you're going to say, okay, now where can I get some of that Protandim?
Right, right. Okay.
Thank you.
Right on, caller. Thank you so much for your mana'o. And we have another call on the air. Hello, caller. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for calling today. What's on your mind?
I appreciate you. For starters, it gives a good opportunity for people to speak out. I think that there's a, you know, collective, all the people that live here and have lived here and continue to come here from other places appreciate Kauai in its natural state. And unfortunately, there is a massive amount of pollution that's not by our choice. And, you know, often,
are you sure it's not by our choice? I mean, we all drive cars, yeah?
That's you're right. You're right about that. And you're right about that absolutely.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject. Please
go on
to your thing.
No, you're absolutely correct. And I think here what you're doing by having your show and having people question the norm and step outside the box and start thinking about solutions rather than just pointing the finger and looking at problems, because we all have the same needs, and the same needs are eventually, I mean, ultimately sustainability. Clean air, clean water, good food to eat that's not going to make us sick. We all have the same needs.
So, just real quick, maybe not everyone that's listening in, maybe we have guests that are visiting our island. What is your definition of sustainability?
My definition of sustainability is... Well, I think Kauai could be a good example for other places in the world, but we're fortunate here that we have resources like fresh water.
Okay, so what is your idea of sustainability?
My idea of sustainability is that everybody's basic human needs would be met within the limits of our island by itself without any...
So no outside resources from any other place. So everything that people need comes from Kauai.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That is, I mean, to me, that is sustainability.
So we're talking about food, clean water.
Yes.
Shelter.
Yes.
Transportation needs.
Yes.
Education.
Yes.
What else?
Love.
Love.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Clean air.
Clean air.
Yeah. And working in closely like the native people did with nature, so
almost like not maybe economic opportunities, but some kind of working opportunity to give a sense of worth. Then,
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
So, and you know, that is theoretically possible here, and probably in many other places as well. But in order to move forward and make progress, instead of just focusing on the problems and pointing fingers and blaming, we all need to take responsibility for our part. Like you said, I drive a car, you know?
I do too. I'm so bad about that.
Right. So what could we do? You know, what are the answers? And when it comes to issues like the GMO, well, it's obvious that the chemicals are toxic. It's obvious that the soil is being damaged. It's obvious. So how can we repair that? Well, there are crops like hemp, for example, that can be planted that's nitrogen fixing. It can also provide fuel.
Are you sure that hemp is a nitrogen fixer? Is it in the Fabaceae family?
I believe it is nitrogen fixing. I may be incorrect, but okay. I believe that...
But it is, though, regardless of its nitrogen fixing state, it is a crop that could be of good importance to us here on Kauai.
Absolutely, yes. It could be used to produce biodiesel, paper products, textile, you know, the list goes on.
Right. Multi-use species, yeah.
Absolutely. And it doesn't damage the soil. I actually believe that it helps to repair the soil. I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's my understanding.
Multi-use crop, though, is better than one-use crop for sure.
It's a bioremediator.
Absolutely.
Right. Thank you, Marshall, for your interjection there.
Sure.
So continue on. I'm sorry to interrupt you a little bit there.
So there are, you know, like the gentleman was talking about earlier, there are solutions. It's just a matter of working on the solutions instead of focusing on the problems. And when it comes to GMO products, you know, it's GMO corn is in virtually everything on the grocery store shelf. I mean, and it's not labeled as such, but people aren't aware.
Anything with soybean oil, canola oil,
correct.
All that kind of
That's
stuff.
Correct.
Pretty much most of
yes.
our cooking oils are fillers,
yes.
and anything that comes in a can good right. has some kind right. of GMO derivative in it.
Right. And I think most people aren't aware of that because it wasn't always that way. So, you know, education is key. And when I go into the grocery store with my children, and they ask me, oh, can I have this? Can I have that? I say, well, let's look at the ingredients. And we read it together, and I said, no, this has something in it that's ultimately not natural and not healthy for your body, so we're not going to buy it. And if everybody didn't buy it, there would no longer be a market for it.
Right.
You can boycott. I mean, it's like, it's pretty simple. I know it takes time, but it's a pretty simple concept.
Right.
You know, so simple changes in our lifestyles at home, like you said, grow your own food as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Teach the people around you and talking about things because
right.
the education often isn't there. People, it's not that people are stupid. People just don't know. Nobody, you know,
you just got to be informed. Absolutely. Caller, just real quick, we're at the top of the hour. We'd love to have you continue talking story with us, but we need to do some business administration. So if you would hold on real quickly as we take care of some KKCR stuff like that. We'll be back right with you if you please hold on for a moment, will you?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so you are tuned into Kauai Soapbox Live here on KKCR, KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, not Kilauea, Kilauea. And Kauai Soapbox Live is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Bali High Realty, The Copper Man, Surf Rider Foundation, and Baranako.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
Marine trash from the Japanese tsunami is still arriving. Surf Rider has recorded 21 compressed gas cylinders that turned up on Kauai's beaches. They are potentially extremely dangerous. We urge anyone who finds a cylinder to call 911. While Surf Rider wants to record all of the marine debris, we do not remove dangerous and hazardous materials. If you find any large debris, call Barbara at 635-2593. A reminder from the Surf Rider Foundation.
Dove presents One Night Only, NACO and Medicine for the People, Sunday, March 1st, 8 p.m. at KCC Performing Arts Center, with opening set by Dustin Thomas. Tickets are online at dovepresents.com or Papayas Kapa'a, Healthy Hut Kilauea, Harvest Market Hanalei, or Progressive Expressions in Kalua. NACO and Medicine for the People, March 1st on Kauai at KCC.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is Kauai Soapbox Live with Brother Eric as your special guest today, filling in for the beautiful Miss Felicia Cowden. This is Kauai Soapbox Live, the show where if you got something for say, we're here for you to listen. We are your community pressure relief valve. And we have Mr. Marshall on the phones helping us in today. And we have another caller on the line. Hello, caller. Welcome.
What's up, brother? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, could you turn off your music in the background or try to get away from the music where you stay?
Yeah, turn on my stereo.
Okay. What's up? What's on your mind, my friend?
You know, I'm going to tell you already how the B-testing going to go, because we all know how it's going to go. Contamination going to be higher on the other side than versus this side of the island. I mean, it's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Spraying is deeper there than it's deeper here.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of wasted money off of common sense. But anyway, that's how I think. But, so, maybe you got to contain the stuff. We're already being grown. Leave them over there.
Right.
Because we're not going to get this stuff out of here. Because we in America, and that's their business. You know, like how people run their business, they look for the most economic, efficient way?
Right.
That's what America does. So, they're going to look at whoever pay the politicians and all this, that's the way they're going to roll. Mm-hmm. They don't care about if you guys going to mock it. They don't care if guys gonna be the kind or the baby is gonna come out funny kind, but this is real.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, how are we gonna change this? We cannot change this. Yeah, we can vote and all this stuff and change them incrementally, but you know what I'm gonna tell you? You're gonna die fighting, and that's how it is. You pick your fight, and you die fighting to the end. Somebody gonna jump in your shoes, and. That's all. We only need one time here where we fill in that time for Ticket Aina.
Yeah. So, caller, what is your fight that you like to fight to the death for?
Well, it all depends. You know, God give you that knowledge, and he figure, you know, along your journey, maybe you run into that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you get clouded by other stuff in your life.
Yeah.
That, you know, you get sidetracked, but you try to get back, and then maybe you just keep getting sidetracked, but you keep fighting, and, you know, maybe some guys get other issues in their fight. I don't know what is mine. Mine is maybe just sharing to you guys.
Yeah.
That a lot of this is, we in one system that perpetuates itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes good people, because if you think, anything that is against one B is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Because the B is creation. The bee makes more food. The person who doesn't want a bee to make more food, then that means they want to create food. So they want to become a god. But naturally in our world, the earth produces food.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get anything, anybody, any human, aliens, whatever, they come in and they want to do their trip, do their thing, but it affects the natural creation, which is the bee pollinating fruits for make food. Why you think these guys don't like guys raising bees? Why you think they do pollination on their own?
Mm.
They don't need. It's like having okay, you get one wahini, but you're gonna throw the sperm inside her. As well, you know what? People don't really see. There's a grander picture.
Right.
It also comes down to God. So, you know, we can all, you know, keep our fights and keep fighting, you know, because that's what God said. If you die fighting for his trip, hey, then maybe he gonna sway you away.
Mm.
So, you know, contamination is higher that way than down to KA.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then that's common sense. You know what I mean? We don't pay 80-100 grand for these guys. Paying big money for all taxes for these guys going to test this trip. Of course, we like know what's the inside, the beehive from theirs to ours. And you know what that will create? It will create the price of honey being less on the west, and it'll increase as you come to the east.
Mm.
That's just natural because the demand. See, people don't realize what's happening. They're going to affect people's pockets and businesses just because of us talking. And
right.
So, you know, when you hover from a different level, then you can kind of see already what's going on.
Right.
If you get one 5x5 in your yard, oh, grow your food.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So we're going to cry for all these acres and acres and acres. Some guys get that opportunity to do that. Hey, we're happy for them. But you get one small little square in your yard where you can make your lettuce.
You can do it on your lanai, in your condo even, yeah?
Yeah, everywhere, bro.
Yeah.
So we get one push from the good side. We're going to push from the bad side.
So you take the good, there you have. That's the facts of life, yeah?
Yeah, you got to choose what side you're rolling with.
Mm.
And let's move towards that.
Mm.
You know, so I'm going to get off because I know get plenty other people.
Yeah, but, yeah. But, we do have one other caller, but we appreciate him a lot.
You know, you got to settle the storm.
That's right.
Okay, you guys have a beautiful day.
Okay, aloha. Okay, so this is Kauai Community Radio. This is Soapbox Live, the program that's here for you on the community, the pressure relief valve. If you guys have any calls that you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 826-7771, and we do have a caller on the air. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Hey, how's it? How you guys doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, bro. Everybody's Manawan. Everybody's Olelo. Everybody's voice right on, bro. You're doing a good job because if you never have this radio station, nobody will know nothing.
Right.
So my thing today, my brother,
is
education. I believe education is the number one factor. And when I'm saying education, I mean education as in truth, not false written education. I'm talking about truth.
Yeah.
As in, I just would like to give it to everybody that is listening to this, everyone that is listening to this radio. Go on. The truth is about on education that I'm speaking of is, everybody saying Hawaii is the U.S. I really got to say sorry because that is a lie.
That's right.
So the education part is this. Our kupuna that have fight to see the day come and then uahala, they pass away.
Mm.
There is something worth fighting for is putting ourselves in their shoes because without them, no more us.
Right.
Fact. Now, what I'm talking about is how Hawaii is not part of the U.S. that everybody needs to know is this. We've been waiting for a letter of what? Recognition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we got that letter of recognition. That was in 2002 when Clinton signed the apology letter to the state of Hawaii. Bingo. We already got it. So what is everybody crying about? What we got to do is move forward as in educating the people, the truth.
Right.
You know, look at our correctional center. I see so much potential in good brothers and good sisters and good people. They are good people that is behind bars. Because that, what are they doing in there? Nothing. I mean, they're not teaching these people how to be the right way. If put it this way, if I was running that jail, I'll make sure none of these brothers using pink shirts. I'll throw all these guys in malos.
Yeah, that's how.
You know, I'll be training these brothers in malos, teaching them magnatory every night. There's a Hawaiian lesson where you learn your language so you can pass it to your keikis when you get out.
Right.
I would have lo'i patches where they'll be all working in the lo'i. And that way, the lo'i, the kano, will provide for your aina, your people, your food market, and for your children. When they come out of jail, it's called rehabilitation. They're going to learn where they come from, the culture, the roots.
Yeah.
Because, look, basically, what these guys, they come out, they do good, they go right back in with the same thing. So what they're teaching them? Nothing. Now, if we get a porno guy in there, they're doing it for the right reason and the right people.
Mm.
These brothers, good people, will come out of there learning something and moving ahead with their family because they are good people.
Yeah.
They're steered in the wrong way. No, it's all about education.
Mm.
That is a big form of education. Learn where you come from and learn your language before you learn any other. Like when I play Hawaiian music, I had to learn my music before I learned any other music. You feel me?
Yeah.
Okay, so one other thing on education. Now, everything is education. Education is the key. First thing they try to do is false educate us when we were younger. They did it to our kupunas. They had beat up my grandma and your grandma and grandpa into they were so scared that they couldn't even pass
speak
on
the language or anything, yeah.
So basically, it's all education in positive ways. I mean, we already get our land back. We already considered not the U.S. because of the apology letter, which was that of a recognition.
Mm.
Basically, all the Hawaiian brothers in jail is illegal to be in there because the only law that states in effect that everybody can look up. All Kanaka, people of Hawaiian blood, cannot be prosecuted to any foreign country or ruling foreign country, including the United States of America. Basically, everything that they do is illegal.
Right.
If all of them, you know, if all the brothers in jail that could shoot your station, they have every legal right to just get their stuff and walk out because this, everything that they're telling you is a lie and everything that they're telling us is a lie. So basically, where's the truth of education?
And so what? The education, is that just for the guys like you and me's age? Or is that also for the youths and everything?
It's for
everybody, yeah?
The important thing is for not only everybody.
Yeah.
For the Kikis to learn where they come from.
Yeah.
You need to value. This land right now is being land raped by BS. You need to know how to do stuff the right way. I mean, nowadays the kids are stuck out on computer or on video game.
Man, I hate seeing that myself, yeah.
Yeah, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to think about it, is that...
How many people right now that is waiting, I don't like TikTok the whole time, but...
Yeah, yeah, going.
I'd like to tell you guys, mahalo nui for listening me out.
And, yeah, yeah.
Everybody that, if they're confused about something, bro, basically just get into your textbook, get into your manawa and start reading, start doing your history, start finding out truth.
Right on. Right on. Mahalo's for your thoughts there, man, and your manao.
Yeah,
and anybody
like any advice and any kokua that we one of the brothers. I'm one of the brothers that is cleaning the heiaus on the east side of Kauai from Wailua to the top of Wailua.
Oh, right on.
But if anybody wanna come in kokua to learn, please come by because we all can do our part.
Hey, so how can they come reach you? They just come by the heiau or what?
Just come by the heiaus. We'll be there.
What, you guys there every day?
Every morning.
Every morning. What? Sunrise kind?
From 8:30, okay. 8 o'clock.
Okay. So you hear it right there. Wailua, come learn from the kind. Okay?
All right, bro. Aloha no, guys.
Okay. Aloha no. So, just on that note, you know, it's really important that we educate ourselves and we, you know, my kopuna told me as, you know, it's really important to indoctrinate the youth so that we make the change we want to see happen. And we can totally do that. And you look at kind of a weird thought, but you think about someone like Hitler. Within a generation, he got a whole nation on an agenda. And if we want our island nation on an agenda, we can do that too in a more positive way. And all it takes is charismatic people to show that, you know, we don't need to be on our iPhones and that we need to be working the aina and malama aina and aloha each other. And that's really what it's all about. So let's start with our youth and let's expand from there. And I'd like to thank that brother for his calls. And we have another caller on the air. Aloha caller, you are on the air.
Hey, how's it? How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'd like to change the subject, but before I do, I'd just like to point out to the caller before that he got his years mixed up. Clinton did not was not in presidency in 2002.
Yeah, I thought so too.
In the 90s that occurred.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, you know, right on team. And but that's not what I call in about. What I call in about is, you know, where everybody talks about this traffic problem and how it's, you know, it's linked to bad roads and which is part of the problem, of course. But I want to point out an aspect of this bad traffic that nobody seems to want to talk about, and that's bad drivers.
Mm.
You know, I live on the east side. I'm born in East Kapahi. But, you know, the roundabout, for example, you know, when you come in off the dump, that's a yield versus on stop, so that they think that they're entitled to cut you off, which backtracks that north lane more far.
Yeah, yeah.
Then when you come in out, when you turn in left going north into the bypass, everybody lets, like, 9 cars go.
Mm-hmm.
Back up the traffic into town versus one and one and one and one. You know, one of the worst egregious things that I see on the road in Kauai is people letting people in, holding up traffic to let people in against the flow of what the grain is. Another example is even coming off the bypass. Everybody pulls over the white line as to say, okay, if you're going to go, we're going to let you go. But that's illegal.
Right.
If I wanted to, I could leapfrog everybody, pull back in, and they're wrong. Right? And so, and they go, oh, well, we don't let people turning left into Kapal, or they're going to do their thing. But the problem is, there really isn't that much room, and so they end up going over the double yellow, which now you're forcing the oncoming traffic to veer off their white line.
Right, right. Jump off
and
already.
I see this every day. I've seen this just now. I pick up my kids, I go home, my girl gets ready for jiu-jitsu, I got to travel back up high. You know what I mean? And I see this every day. And even when I'm taking a left turn, and I'm like the fifth car going into the bypass and people letting everybody flow, I'll stop and wave my finger and tell them, no, one for one. You know, I'll roll my window down. Tell me, better. Hey, let the other traffic go too. You know what I mean? Kapal Town is backed up because everybody's letting everybody turn left on the bypass. And that's not just there. You can get that as examples, you know, through the Hui and other places.
Oh,
but it's really bad in Kapal Town.
Absolutely.
You have a group of ultra-aggressive drivers mingled in with a bunch of ultra-light, you know, courteous drivers, and it's a bad mix. You almost want them to just be all aggressive or all courteous.
Right.
You know, because it really does set up for road rage, you know?
Yeah, you got to have consistency or guys are going to be like, oh, what am I going to expect here, yeah?
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, even on the double lane, when people purposely shut people off so that they cannot pass them because they're higher, more ground, they think they shouldn't be able to pass and go faster, that just leads to, you know, road rage, frustration, wasted fuel. Nobody thinks about what it, you know, when you're in traffic, you're wasting fuel.
Right.
So the reality of this is even though you think you're doing good by letting people in, remember the people behind you guys. Hello?
Yeah. Just got to remember the guys behind us.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I see it everywhere in Kapal Town. And Kapal Town right now is real bad. Like, whenever the tourists get above 65%, it's bad.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If we drop into a 50s, I notice the tourists, you know, no, not so bad. But when the tourist is 80, 70%, 80%, they're on the roads with us, and, you know, and they're, you know, and by so default, you know, I don't want to pick on them, but they're looking at the scenery, which we advertise and sell and want market for them to come. But, you know, it's a bad mixture with all of them out there.
So you think it's the tourist guys that is really jamming up the traffic, or you think it's the local guys that is giving the example, and then the tourist guys try to follow them, but they get all confused because you get guys that is being, you know, more aggressive, and you get guys that is being passive.
This is what it really is, brother.
It's
truth. It's local working families that can be either Haoles or Hawaiian or Chinese, but the working guy who's got to go to tree jobs, right? We all hear about
that. Yeah, we all get jobs
right?
A lot of, yeah.
Right? You hear Ron Wiley talking about, oh, it's only an island, why slow down, right? But people got to get to work. And then you've got the other group of people that have moved here, retired here, or whatever. And they're on a leisurely, mixed in with tourists on a leisurely. So you've got this split of leisure drivers that don't feel that they have anywhere fast to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me let 8 guys in, right? Oh, what? Slow down. It's only an island. Oh, but I work 3 jobs because my kids get braces and this, that. Right? I've always had a problem when Ron Wiley would say, oh, it's only an island. Where do you got to go? I'm like, Ron, we all got to work, partner.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
And so, you know, what I'm saying is there's a lot of bad drivers. My aunt had just visited here from Palolo, and she noted, she just was here this weekend, and she was, you know, I had her with me one day. She noted that, wow, these guys would all die in Oahu.
Somebody
would get out of
their
car and grab them. They literally would get out of their car and grab them out.
You know, I heard a similar thing from my friend from over Windward Side on Oahu saying much the same thing, yeah.
It does not work. This is we have a group of people that are here vacationing on really slow schedules, compounded with a bunch of retirees or trust funds or whatever you want to say. They don't got to work and they're on retirement mode. And then you're complicating that with a complete needing to be moving at top speed just
the
to
working
make
class
speed
people. Ready. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we really got to think about that as in, you know, before we call in for 5-6 lane implements, let's just look at how we drive and our driving behaviors.
I agree. You know, we don't need to jam up or make our infrastructure more worse. You know, maybe we need to address the problem of how we is acting socially and responsibly, you know. So I really appreciate that.
I hope this lights up the line.
No, going. No worries.
No, I mean, I hope people call in with this because I'm sure I'm not the only one who witnesses this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure everybody listening has seen or has let somebody in, right? You could be somebody listening right now that, oh, I do that at that place or I do that here. Right?
Yeah.
Or how about the guys that go way out of their way for stop and let somebody make an illegal turn out of places? I see that all the time. Right? So, you know what I mean? It's like, if it's facilitating to let somebody in with courteous, fine. But if you're going to impede the overall flow of traffic, you are a hindrance and stop grumbling about the traffic problem.
Right on, brother.
Okay. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha. And you are tuned into Kauai Soapbox Live, the pressure leaf valve to help you out in your community endeavors. If you guys have anything for say, whatever is on your mind, please give us a call at 826-7771. That's 826-7771. And we have a caller on the air. Aloha, caller. How are you doing?
Aloha. Just calling to say, same thing happened to me. Trying to get from one thing to another today, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just to, not to, you know, jam anybody up, but, you know, brother said it like 6-8 times. I don't know. I didn't even think to start counting, but, you know, you can, like, say after 3-4 times, it's like, okay, brother, we get them.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, yeah, what he's saying is true, but sometimes, you know, because I live on Crowded Island, and I'm calling from over here, and, you know, the gathering place or whatever, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, the Crowded Island.
And so, you know, like the previous caller said, and until the Americans wise up, it's you know, anyway, I was calling about something that you guys, folks were talking about a few times with the smoke stuff.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Is that still an issue or?
Yeah, it's definitely an issue here on the island. You get guys that are saying that it's really important for burn stuff because they have traditional cultural uses for that, you know, whether it's for make emu or for fishing kind stuff like that, you know, on the beach or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you get the other guys that are all, oh, you know, this is guys in residential areas, you know.
It's covered, just like the last caller, you don't have to, like, repeat them too much. But on the same issue, though, I'd like to, like, spin it a little bit.
What?
Okay, so when the tourist ships come into Nawili Willy Harbor, they sit there and they idle with their generators on.
Oh, yeah.
Burning the dirtiest, ugliest, funkiest bunker crude oil in those generators, and it fills that valley for the Kuleana folks who live there. Yeah
all those guys in Niumalu and stuff.
Well, not Niumalu so much, it's the next valley over, Nawili Willy. Where the cruise ships come in and they sit there and they idle because the island electric infrastructure is not such that they can plug in, like over here.
Right. It's similar to on, I know, Big Island. They have a similar issue in Hilo Bay and stuff with their guys running all the dirty smokes and stuff.
Yes. So if the folks like Hoosier or those folks that are so concerned, you know, let them look at their whole picture, you know. How come I never hear of that part of the smoke issue?
You raise a good point, sir. Definitely.
Yeah. So for my, you know, Ohana that lives in the valley there and gets to breathe all that funky smoke from our tourist industry, you know, it's like, You know, I'd like those guys to pull their head out of their dark space and address the full issue rather than saying, oh, the kind down the road, he burning rubbish. Yeah, when it's not burning rubbish, yeah, mm-hmm. because I'm a farmer over here, and I get tapped by my neighbors because I like burn, because I like grow sweet potato, because I like, you know, potassium, because I like potato. I don't like vine. I like potato. And so I need to burn so I can grow potato, not just vine, yeah?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You gotta explain to people, and they act like they don't know, yeah? And it's like, you go to the hardware store, and they get pallets of NKP.
Yeah, yeah.
All these folks, you know, they can buy. Hey, I don't like buy that kind, yeah?
Mm-hmm,
I like
mm-hmm.
make my own, which is my traditional farming right, you know, to grow sweet potato. And, oh, no, you cannot burn. You think it's hard to burn on Kauai? Come over Crowded Island and see. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Nobody, they, you know, they get all these computers. They think, you know, they're so edumacated. They get their head in the dark place. You know, I like make my own fertilizer.
Right.
I don't like buy from Syngenta. I don't like buy from 3M or Monsanto or
no sense just get anything off the barge like that. Yeah, I hear you.
So, you know, I'm sharing this for all the Howleys out there. Think about it. You know, you don't like burn? Hey, you know what? Sometimes it's like almost, I like to say, beat it, because, what, you know, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to grow food, yeah?
Right. It's all about understanding and educating people. And if guys never know, then they're just going to be foolish and act the way that they act already, yeah?
Yeah, and I don't like, I don't want to make people angry or feel bad. Or,
no. I think, you know, it's just trying to inform them. That's what's important, yeah?
And I thank you for the show, and I apologize for not being
No need to apologize. Don't apologize. You just gotta sometimes tell people how it is, you know, and that's why I was here on KKCR Kauai Community Radio.
Yep.
You know, we're here to let everyone say their mana'o. And caller, we do have another person on the air, so I gotta say aloha. Okay,
ohui ho.
Thank you for mana'o. Okay, and caller, you are on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm an organic grower here in Moloan, and most of the people on the west side that are up in what you call the valley.
Mm.
It's pretty obvious now. They know me. I was there years and years growing organic up in the valley, and they know I like to call it a canyon when it's flooding, and you don't have much of a chance to call it anything when it's flooding up there.
Right.
So I had a chance to show them that that I could grow profitably organically up in that canyon. And so, you know, it took a while being a Howley up there on the west side for them to even want to look at me. They just wanted to chase me out of there. And after the flood and after years and years of growing up there, taking lettuce to the Wrangler, getting to know the local people, they could see I was making money out of poipu in these other markets. And that's what they understand, is when you show them a positive alternative.
Right.
Now back to that lady who was on the air earlier, much respect. You know, it's a very, very small world back there. She must have worked 30 years. I probably know her face. She's been through the doctors over there. And she's to just be able to go on the air and live there. It's a small world on the west side. She'll probably be catching hell right now.
Mm.
But my heart goes out to her for getting on the air and saying what she said after 30 years of putting up with this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm worried about traffic accidents and all that other stuff. But what it gets down to, when you're talking jobs, whether it's the military or something, you got to show people a positive alternative. And that's what the poipu market is. You can bring in $300 or $400 a day there, and the people know that. There's good soil up there away from the spray. So that's what people understand over there, is when they see organic farmers. And there's people working for Syngenta and the other companies that are growing organic too. and they're caught just trying to survive, growing organic and going to work with the pesticides. So my heart goes out to those people, too.
Right on.
Some bits of information that I found out recently that is new is wheat, GMO wheat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until the other day. Some wheat farmer or whoever talks about Roundup Ready wheat. I just found that one out this last Saturday at the market. So I learn these things all the time. And the best part is China said, we won't take it. So that's billions and billions of dollars that Roundup Ready wheat is not getting from China. So we got our friends in China, and you know, just for this one call, I'll be called a traitor or something, you know. But whatever, you know, these are the higher ups in China that says we aren't going to buy it, we aren't going to take that GMO wheat, and most people have never even heard of GMO wheat, me included. So there's all sorts of issues going on here. And it gets very dangerous when you cost these corporations billions and billions of dollars. So you won't be getting calls from me all the time, because I've got friends that are dead from these sort of phone calls. When you really, you know, lawyers that have billions of dollars, lawyers that know how to win on Molokai, those are the kind of people Monsanto and the rest of them are afraid of. So I look forward to meeting a few of these people that have been buying in. Like, I don't know if I'll ever meet this Mark guy who just bought the land over here in Molokai. But, I mean, not Molokai, but this island, you know, the Facebook Mark guy.
Zuckerberg,
he's the kind of guy that can throw the money around, that grow farms and the rest of them will listen to.
Right.
You know, so we've got people, we've got friends like Neil Norman and the rest of them. He already knows. And more, there'll be billions of dollars. You know, the guy that's doing Facebook, he can do some great things for the rest of us. So I'm done talking.
Oh, no. If you got more to say, but if you don't, we really appreciate your call. And
yeah,
I think it's really important that, you know, you go and step out from your box. And we really appreciate you, you know, I guess you would say putting your neck on the line like that, you know.
Well, you know, I just came from the West Side today, and I'm so glad not to be caught over there on all these issues, because it doesn't do any good to bring up the negative energy. It just makes people more frustrated.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the things is that plenty of guys, they like, you know, talk about the negative stuff. And we all know all the negative stuff. And it's, we can't go anywhere as a society, as a community, as a nation, as a world, unless we go, okay, yeah, we get the problem, but how do we change it? So no sense just grumble.
I got one more point that
Please go ahead.
This goes back to the lady who really put herself on the line and came on about, you know, the nurse over there. I've probably seen her, and she's probably, I think I know who she is. This is real important, too. When they put out their ads and they say, we have our own doctors and nurses that care for, we care about the workers so much, we have our own doctors. You know what that basically means? That basically means you're fired if you go to the doctor and say anything about this.
Mm.
You lose your job if you go outside the corporate world and go to one of the, you know, outside health care providers.
Right.
'Cause they're obviously really afraid of lawsuits.
Right.
So that was one more point, that's why they have their own nurses and their doctors to try and keep this sort of stuff hush hush.
Right on. Well, we do have another caller, and we really appreciate your monopoly.
All right.
And thank you for calling. And once again, you are tuned into KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. This is Kauai Soapbox Live, the pressure community relief valve to get you through your day. And if you have anything you like to say, please give us a call at 826-7771. That's 826-7771. And we do have a caller on the air. Aloha, caller. You are on the air. How can we help you?
Aloha. Earlier, you were asking, like, what does the sustainability mean to farmers?
Mm-hmm. Or just to that caller, or whatever you feel sustainability is, yeah?
Okay, yeah, well, sustainability would be to support, to have a community that supported the people that produce for it, and it keeps the trade locally, and...
How local are we talking locally? Are we talking on the island? Are we talking within our own neighborhood?
Well, I think that, since we can't really rely on too many outside influences, you know, if we have a disaster, God forbid, then might not have shipments or something here.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really rely on the money system either. And if we did too heavily, that could prove disastrous. So that's not too sustainable, in my opinion. So I think we need to focus more on what we have and with our assets as far as providing ourselves with food. And if we grow our own food, we don't have to worry about, like, someone sliding in some poison stuff. You know what I mean?
So you had mentioned our assets. I mean, you had talked about food. What other assets do we have here on Kauai that you would put into our sustainability factor?
Well, asset is the people,
mm-hmm.
and the minds and the willingness of the people.
Mm.
And then you have the machinery that's used for, like, construction that could really do good for, like, helping farmers out.
Ah, so instead of building another strip mall complex, we could build more aquaponics facilities, perhaps?
Plenty.
Mm.
You know, and that would be like, you know, in the old days, I haven't been here too long, but 21 years. And
mm-hmm.
in the old days, when I first got here, there's people that would, if you needed something, they knew, and they would, it would show up. They would help you out. You know, if you needed, like, you needed some dirt moved or your driveway fixed, you know, mm. it was taken care of.
Communal oriented kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we lose people to attrition for whatever reason in the market, especially, like, the housing market. And
mm.
people sold out, and then they realized, whoa, I got to buy back into this mess.
Right.
And then they gave up a gem,
mm.
you know, and then the people that end up with it, they're on, not even on islands, so it's just cared for with a bunch of labor people going in and mowing lawns, and they actually don't want fruit or anything growing there, or food.
Right.
And, you know, also in the old days, we used to be a lot more trees, fruit trees around, and everybody would plant them in Kalalau, trying to think about the future too, you know, the forward thinkers. And mm-hmm. the state was engaged in pulling up all the plants when they were doing raids on people like here. It's mm-hmm. like disgusting.
Right.
We need food, you know. We're 5% of the food comes from here.
Right.
We're even exporting food and stuff.
Mm.
You know, that doesn't make sense.
No.
And if you're going to be sustainable, that's what you need to do.
Right.
And another thing I wanted to point out is, like, these people making the laws about burning and stuff, they're the same guys that's not addressing the issue with poisons and GMOs.
Right.
So, you know, you can keep chasing dreams, or you can sit down and say, hey, if we all knew each other as neighbors and took care of each other like that, then we'd have the food and companionship and the relationships that we need, you know?
Mm. Mm.
And look at Poipu. They went out there and there was a bridge out, and the community got together and says, hey, they were trying to make money on it, you know? And it's like crazy the way
right.
they do it. We don't need all that. We need smart.
Smart growth, yeah.
We just need smart, period.
Mm. Gotta be Akamai.
Yeah, because, you know, when you learn to live without money, you find there's so many things you can do without the money, and it's exhilarating. But then money kind of comes in and screws up a lot of things. So, and people mean well, but it's, you know, there's a difference between having experience on doing something and then some guy come in and say, here's money, let's do this and this, and it's not even really addressing the needs.
Right. It's a, you know, false promises almost kind.
That would be sustainable in a nutshell.
Right. I really appreciate Manao. I'm sure most of the other people or everyone here on Kauai appreciates that and worldwide. And we want to thank you for your call. And we do
thank
have
you.
Another caller.
Okay.
Aloha. And caller, thank you for calling Kauai Community Radio. You are on the air.
Hey, how's it? I'm just calling back.
Hey.
I figured, well, I wanted to say one thing. I agree with this past caller just now, you know, but one part that I would want to point out is that world does still exist.
Yeah.
It's just that the people that have moved here have gotten exponential and diverse in how they react with the local community, and they're desensitized and they just don't accept as many people, and when they do, it's under greater scrutiny.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so like for example, right? I can what he just talked about is where I world is my world. And that when stuff goes down, I participate in that, and people participate back with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that world does exist. It just has excluded most of the people that have moved here now.
Mm.
Because it's gotten exponential. It's not the kind, you know, the guy one or two on the street.
Yeah, yeah.
But, right, and then attitudes change and whatnot. You know, the other thing I wanted to point out is that, you know, I do grow at home. My wife and I and my girls, we do grow at home. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard with a 5x5. I beg to differ. You know, if you have a family of four, you can eat your kale to where you need to plant more kale. Because, you know, I mean, kale is actually one of the better ones because it reproduces the leaves over and over. But bok choy, right? All of these, you know, cabbages that, you know, I'll translate it, mustard cabbage. There you go, if everybody doesn't know. You know, those kind of cabbages is a one-head thing, you know.
If
you've got 30 heads, which is still a pretty good plot, right? And you eat that, you know, that's, by the time you eat them and replant them, you know, and the thing is, they go off. You know, you smell
like
you
can
release them. You know, so what happens is, going back to what this previous caller is talking about, is what you share with your neighbors. And my neighbors are diverse. I get plenty of mainland neighbors where I live, and they actually participate in this too. So it does transgress over the border still.
Right.
And I'm sure it happens in micro levels all around, but maybe not so much Princeville, or where there's just not enough locals for have that saturated out.
Yeah.
You know, seep out. But you know, my neighbor lets me grow on his farm. I've killed my neighbor's yard. And where, it's even funny because, and he's an older local man, and even though it's his place, we kill it, he'd still ask permission for pig.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an odd thing. I love him. He's a great guy. He's still around. We still do this. But, you know, what I also see is getting the students more involved, like what they have in Oahu. You know, when they get, you know, like Malo Farms and whatever they have in Waianae, where, you know, the students, because that is the one industry that students can work, right? It's the old grandfathered laws in, because other than that, it's child labor laws. And so, you know, there's a lot of homeowners that could use their lots that just don't know how to farm,
right?
And so you could say, oh, look, we can get farmers for you. But I say you can get less farmers involved and get the takies out there, you know, in some kind of program where, you know, maybe you can get your taxes reverted if you let the school use, you know, part of your 5 acres or something. Right? See, you let 2 acres to the pop school for their students come and plot some gardens that they can get through the whole process, right? Yeah. I mean, they do aqua farms too, you know, at the pop school.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty diverse over there. And so I agree with the caller that just called. I wish it was more like the olden days where it was, you know, everybody left their doors open. Unfortunately, there's a lot of burglary. There's a lot of modern problems. We had them back then, but it's just more scaled.
Yeah, a little bit more.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we never was exempt. Let's get real.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm born and raised up here, so it's like, you know, he's going back 21. I'm going back 41. You know, and so I was the last generation of the plantation up here. Right? I mean, my generation, my classmates still work probably long. Summer jobs. This is before Hawaii enforced stuff, but that would have been a farm job anyway. So imagine this: back in the olden days, they strapped on those chemicals to high school students.
Oh yeah,
right. Minimum wage going in the field, and we loved it. I worked in the hotel industry, food industry. My friends worked in there. My other friends worked at the taro, either in the taro field or at Kapahi had the, you know, and I'm sure Hanalei had it too. But they also worked at the poi factory.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the kind of jobs we all had. And I agree that we should be getting our kids back into this too, you know? So that I'm sure nobody listening is going to disagree that we need to pass the knowledge of farming. And not just farming, but dressing animals. How many of you guys can even clean one animal?
Right.
If you guys caught one wild pig, can you guys clean it? Dress it? You know what I mean? That's for food for thought. But I got to get going. I'll watch my daughter. All right. You guys have a good one.
Okay. Aloha. And we have another caller. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Are you?
Yeah, I want to just make a quick comment about sustainability, and I just want to get people to focus on that underlies all civilization.
Caller, you're kind of cutting out. Can you talk into the phone more clear or talk off speakerphone?
Okay, I'm not on speakerphone.
Okay.
I'm actually on a
microphone. You sound better now, so just whatever you're doing, just do what you're doing.
Okay.
Continue.
Well, anyway, what I was going to say is the one thing that underlies sustainability is necessary for it is water.
Yes,
you need water for civilization, and you need water for agriculture. And we take it for granted here because the sugar cane companies took all the surface water, and they spread it out in the fields, and then it went down, and it filled up all of our aquifers under the ground, right?
Uh-huh.
So now most of the water that we're using for farming is being pumped out of the ground, and most of it's being done by burning fossil fuel, although we are getting more solar online. And my point is, for us to be sustainable in agriculture in the long term on Kauai, we have to utilize our surface water before it goes out into the ocean, mm-hmm. rather than just pumping out a depletable resource, which is the water under the ground. And the more we pump that out of the ground, the more the water table lowers, more people's wells go dry, and even the streams go dry as the water table drops.
Yeah, yeah.
So without this, all the other talk about sustainability and getting people interested in growing stuff, blah, 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 that all means nothing. In the long run, we won't be able to be sustainable if we deplete our depletable water and if we don't use our renewable water, which is the surface water. So that's my point. I just want people to keep that in mind.
Right. You know, and if you look at it, the word for richness is vai-vai, which is water, yeah? And so if we don't take care of our water, we don't take care of our resources, everything is jam up. And it's kind of one of the things that I kind of wanted to express tonight, the importance of taking care of the water, because if we take care of it upstream, not only do we have clean forest, we have healthy forest where we can go, you know, gather our traditional protocols and stuff like that. We can also then have stuff for agriculture. We can also have clean streams for water. For development, guys that are into development, they can have that for their hotels and stuff like that. And if we have the water, we can also have clean water for our reefs. And if we have clean reefs, we can have reefs for food. We can have reefs for surfing. We can have reefs for recreation. We can have reefs for our tourists. So it all comes down to our water. And I really appreciate that you brought all those things into a picture tonight. And we do have another call on the air. So
okay.
We'd like to thank you for your mana'o. And
okay.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, and caller, thank you for tuning in to Kauai Community Radio, and how are you doing this evening?
Very well, thank you, and the main reason I'm calling in was to congratulate you on the excellence of your hosting this show.
Mahalo, mahalo.
You are asking the right questions. You're not assuming that any of us know anything. And so the people who are calling in with this kind of name and that kind of name, you're asking them to define that. This is an excellent, excellent program. You're doing an excellent job. I really appreciate it. I've learned a lot. Talking about water, there will be a water resource management meeting.
Oh.
And that is on March 19th. It's a Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. I'm not exactly who is presenting this. It might be the county, but I'm not sure. It's going to be at the Planning Commission meeting room.
Do you know where that is?
Yes, if anybody doesn't know where that is, if they've gone to get their driver's license on Kauai, it's the next building. You just keep walking till you get to the next building rather than turning in to get your driver's license or paying your taxes is the same place.
It's not, is it in the same building or is it adjacent
to the building?
No, it's
a separate building. There's
okay.
a sort of a breezeway space between the two buildings. But if you're walking as if you were going to go pay your taxes or get a driver's license, walk toward the post office.
In the Hui,
correct?
It's
the next building. It's the next building to the place where you get your driver's license.
Okay, so this is in Lihue Town.
Yes.
And this
March
is 19th, March 19th,
from
Thursday.
From 6:30 to 8:30.
6:30 to 8:30? Or 7?
Yeah.
6 to 8:30 or what?
6:30.
6:30 to 8:30.
They're saying that there will be food. I
Ooh.
Don't know what that means. But that's always an enticement because this is at dinner time.
And so this is a meeting about our water resources here on Kauai, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a county meeting?
It may be. I know I've gone to two before.
Mm-hmm.
One was at KCC. That was the last one. And the people came from Oahu,
uh-huh.
and from the university, and gave a huge amount of facts and a lot of slideshow showing why we have problems getting and keeping water in our soil here on Kauai. It's a very complicated situation that I really had no awareness of until I went to these two previous meetings.
Mm.
I'm not exactly sure what this third meeting is all about, but I can guarantee it will be very informational. And for all of us who realize that nothing can happen here without water, we need to be concerned.
Right, we all need to be informed about our water resources, correct?
And exactly how much is being used by whom. And this applies to any new subdivisions that are going in or any new hotels, because they do use an enormous amount of water.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so these are concerns that somebody is starting to pay attention to, thankfully. There's also another meeting on this coming Saturday, the 28th. It's the Wailua Kapa'a Neighborhood Association, and they're going to be reading, the two authors are going to be reading from their two books. Pat Griffin and Jan Van Ten Brutengate have written recently two very interesting history books. Now, this doesn't have too much to do with water, but it does. It will go into detail as to the history of what has happened to our water, how it's been diverted by different companies doing different agricultural endeavors in Lihue, and specifically is Pat's book. And Jan's book, I'm not exactly sure what area that covers, but I know he's
right.
a very, very thorough writer. And he will probably have a lot of history about our water.
Perfect.
I think that's real important for us to have a handle on that before we go off half-cocked with
Absolutely.
Complaining, because we have to have a proactive solution to some of our obvious problems that are upon us.
Right.
Yeah.
So we are kind of running out of time tonight. And so just to recap, the meeting in Kapa'a is this Saturday from what time?
That meeting is from, let me get back to this calendar, from 2 to 4.
2 to 4.
At the Kapa'a Library.
It's
free.
Library.
And they have refreshments as well.
Fabulous.
And good to get there early. These meetings get crowded.
Absolutely.
Standing room only. And the one in the Planning Commission is on the 19th. That's a Thursday from 6:30 to 8:30. And that probably will be crowded. They,
right.
they don't seem to have any extra chairs.
Right, right. Okay, well, we thank you for your call. And we have one last caller here that's coming in on the air. Caller, we have just a couple more minutes. So please, if you can make it quick and succinct, we'd really appreciate your mana'o. Aloha, caller.
You bet, brother Eric.
I hope that.
Mahalo for doing this show, because I know it's a tough one to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love the comments on the show. And as a community radio, being able to community's concerns is what it's all about. And
Absolutely.
A little bit of courtesy goes a long way. Going back to the caller who talked about the traffic headaches we have in Kapa'a, I agree. But, you know, a little courtesy goes a long way. Our island is known about it. People can learn from our island community if we can continue to exhibit some of that courtesy.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. Well, thank you for your mana'o.
Aloha.
Okay, aloha. And we want to thank everyone for calling in tonight. This is Kauai Soapbox Live, and we have one last caller, real quick, real fast, guy. How's it going?
So I just want to re-educate everybody on the meaning of Hawaii. Yeah, ha, breath of life, vai, fresh water to sustain it, e, our supreme being. Mahalo.
Aloha. Okay, and remember, you guys, as Uncle P once told us, love everybody, because if you know love everybody, I don't even know what he's doing here. So once again, this has been Kauai Soapbox Live with special guest Brother Eric from the Soul Shakedown Party with Mixmaster Marshall on the phones. And coming up at 6 o'clock, we have a hybrid version of Jazz with John with Jazz with Mary. Whoa, 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 whoa. How is that? And before we say aloha, I just want to say thank you guys for all your patience. And we appreciate all you guys' calls. And check us in every Tuesday from 4 to 6 here on Kauai Soapbox Live, one of our several community forums here. We also have one on Thursdays from 4 to 6 as well. And we'll leave you with a big ohui ho, mahalos, and the Kauai County Council minutes. So, ohui ho.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of February 23rd. There will be a regular council meeting on Wednesday at 9 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agenda. The Acting Director of Finance transmits for council information the Period 4 financial report. That's detailed budget report, statement of revenues, estimated and actual, statement of expenditures and encumbrances, and revenue report as of October 31st, 2014. The county engineer recommends council approval to renew a right of entry agreement with the Grove Farm Company, Incorporated. This is for gathering data to be used in the preparation of an environmental impact statement relating to the development of a new sanitary landfill and resource recovery park. The deputy county clerk transmits a claim against the county by Judith Page for damage to her property. Under committee reports, the Budget and Finance Committee approved Bill 2570 for an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the current fiscal year, revising the amounts estimated in the General Fund, Highway Fund, Solid Waste Fund, Sewer Fund, and Golf Fund, and that's for the full funding of the OPEB annual required contributions in the amount of $1,503,504. This committee also approved Bill Number 2572 for a similar ordinance to provide the Office of the County Attorney Special Counsel account in the amount of $650,000. These are under bills for the second reading also. And finally, of note, this committee failed to approve Bill 2574, a bill for an ordinance amending the county code relating to real property taxes. This was real property tax relief for the 2015 tax year. This bill is also under bills for the second reading and was received for the record. Under resolutions is a resolution confirming mayor appointment Cheryl Stiglmeyer to the Charter Review Commission. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for public hearings on Bill 2575 for an ordinance amending the county code relating to zoning designations for certain non-zoned lands, and also Bill 2576 for an ordinance establishing regulations, procedures, zoning development plans, and future growth areas for the South Kauai Planning District, and also establishing exceptions, modifications, and additions to the county code. After the public hearing, they will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.